speak of when we lay there loving till she could not stay there. Dawn was a light, born was my yearning, life became a day to day learning. She took off in the night and gone was my awakening, life a crying day to day. Living without her leaves nothing to find, nothing to leave behind. The tide recedes, the waves depart, leaving behind my crying heart. Ah, the winds are climbing high, that crested cone flies.
Yo, what's up? How's everyone doing? Sorry for the late start. This is WMUC FM College Park Radio, our 50th episode. 50 piece. Just like my favorite basketball player, Jalen Brunson. 50 episodes, kind of hard to believe. First one was November of 2023. It was right next door in the digital studio, where we only had like two or three shows before moving to FM. Shout out Molly for accepting my application to upgrade my show to an FM show. We got a fun one. We're right in the thick of basketball playoffs, and obviously, as a Knicks fan, it's been a pretty fun couple of hours for me. On top of it, my co-ed intramural volleyball team won its Elite Eight matchup last night. On to the Final Four. We played in the B division all season, but the IM program here at Maryland has a fun thing where if you have a record below 500 at the end of the regular season, you get put into the C bracket for playoffs. So we have two divisions for the regular season and three divisions for the playoffs. You know us. We're just ripping apart the C bracket right now. I think we're the 36th seed and we're heading to the Final Four. So really nothing more to say than that. Big performances all over the court last night. Rotations on point, serves on point, sets and spikes galore. And I'm excited because it's my last shot at a intramural champions shirt. That's the big prize for all of the IM sports. It's my last shot because my men's team got eliminated in a bit of a letdown performance on Monday. But anyway, that's enough about IMs. I'm also still reffing volleyball and flag football, but that's not as exciting. This is a fun show because although she will not be joining us on the mic, we do have the star of probably over 25 snack of the day selections in studio with us, my very own mother. The month of May is a big month for my mom, obviously because of Mother's Day, but her birthday is always like within a week of Mother's Day, so it's like a triple M. It's May, the month of Mom. That's what I call it. And we have a beautiful day in College Park as well, so really doesn't get any better than this. It's mid-80s, partly cloudy. There were some raindrops on the way here, which is like, I thought it was May, but I guess not. Yeah, let's get right into it. We have a lot to talk about. Some big games last night in basketball, in hockey. Last we spoke was day two of the NFL draft. So obviously some storylines that we need to cover that have happened since then. A prediction that I made on the air last week that did not come to fruition. I think that makes me like 0 for like 8 in actual predictions that I've said to count on. Shedeur Sanders related, as you might guess. And yeah, my mom's a big John Elway fan. So the John Elway news that we need to talk about will surely be appreciated in the studio. Let's get into it. The 50th episode of Yap and Chap. I wanted to pick a 50 Cent song to play, but unfortunately this is FM radio. And I didn't want to play like the clean version of a song. That's so like, I don't know. That's like woke nonsense, playing clean versions of songs. But anyway, I digress. Sit back. What do we got for today? I just tried a new flavor of Doritos called Late Night Taco, which is, I don't know why they don't just come right out and say Taco Bell, because Taco Bell has the Doritos Locos Taco. It's not called like Triangle Nacho Chip Taco. It's called the Doritos Taco. So why Doritos can't just call it the Taco Bell flavored Dorito, I don't know. Maybe some issues with branding or legal, whatever. But it tastes exactly like a Taco Bell taco. I thought they were delicious. And if you can't find them in your local store, it's because you missed out, because they're in such high demand. Go get yourself a pack of these. They're like, it's like a purple, kind of like a dark purple pack with like neon writing on it. Pretty stellar marketing campaign, and they taste great. So although the show is not officially sponsored by anyone, you should definitely go check out the Doritos Late Night Taco flavor. So grab your Doritos and a drink to accompany it. Settle in. We got 45-ish minutes of sports talk coming your way for the 50th time here on this station. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
It's only a game.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Is this the dagger?
Little roller up along first.
It's my quarter.
Fatso there just forgot to shake my hand.
Mijo!
Brunson the crossover, Brunson the spin, keeps his dribble alive, almost falls down, spins again, leads in, layup, he backs it in. Oh, what a shot from Brunson.
Coming off a screen, Gordon's going crazy, and we got a good reason, because 25 is a Knickerbocker season.
Nick's trying to wait till the end. Brunson puts up a three.
Running fast breaks, and if your defense makes a mistake, then
bang! Bang! Jalen Brunson hits the three with 4.3 remaining.
Knicks.
Go New York, go New York, go!
Go! Unfortunately for me, as someone located in the great state of Maryland, I was not privy to the MSG Network broadcast of last night's Game 6 between the New York Knicks and the Detroit Pistons, meaning that for the first time in a long time, I missed the opportunity to hear a Mike Breen double bang live on the air. Now listen, I had Iron Eagle instead, which is not a bad substitute for like your average sporting event. But because it's the Knicks, I was very committed to listening to Mike Breen and Walt Clyde Frazier on the call for MSG Network, and I couldn't. Because James Dolan and whoever is in charge of these dumb decisions have made it so you have to be in the tri-state area to watch MSG Network on the go, which is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. This is not like the Sacramento Kings we're talking about. This is not the Charlotte Hornets, where the only people who care about the team live within 12 square miles of where they play. This is one of, if not the biggest, most valuable, most followed sports franchises on the face of the earth. And you have to be within a certain man-made geographical line to watch them. Ridiculous. Luckily, TNT was carrying the national broadcast. Iron Eagle's call of the Jalen Brunson shot with 4 seconds left was, you know, it was very good. I'm not going to sit here and say that Iron Eagle did a bad job, because he obviously didn't. I think it was a yes, sir call. You hear those from time to time. Yes, sir. Just not the same as a double bang, though. The crack on the second bang that you can hear in Mike Breen's voice, because you know he's a Knicks fan. And you know him and Clyde are probably going ballistic on the sideline. Yeah, I missed it. So obviously, when I went to watch the highlights later, because this is what I do, naturally. I watch the entire game start to finish, and then 25 minutes later, when the highlights are uploaded to YouTube, I still go back and watch the whole thing. Win or loss, I do that, by the way. It's good exposure therapy when your team loses a heartbreaker. Trust me on that. When I went back to watch the highlights, I made sure to watch the MSG feed that I think the Knicks posted to their channel. Majestic. And you know what? This Knicks series, this entire first round series between the Knicks and Pistons, has reignited very necessary dialogues about Jalen Brunson and his legacy as a New York Knick. People floating the question that we as Knick fans have been maybe putting off for too long at this point, which is Jalen Brunson the greatest Knick ever? Where is he on the list? Now, we're going to hold off. Me personally, I'm still going to hold off, because he's never been past the second round. And I know he's clutch and fourth quarter points, this and that, shooting percentage in the fourth quarter in the playoffs. It's all great. I'm not going to sit here and knock Jalen Brunson for not winning, because he's, you know, still in the prime of his career. But we have Knick legends who, could you count on them down the stretch the same way we've been able to count on Jalen Brunson? Maybe not. But a guy like Clyde Frazier sitting there doing color commentary for MSG, who was there for not only the two most recent championships in Knicks history, the two only championships in Knicks history. Rest in peace, Dick Barnett, by the way, who just died. So I can confidently say that Jalen passed Melo for sure last night. I'm not really ready to put him on the top of the mountain just yet. Knicks have a lot of work to do. They're probably about to lose in the second round for the third straight year to obviously a defending champion Celtics team. They closed out the Magic in four games. We had three sweeps in the first round of the NBA playoffs, which, you know, not ideal. But it's the same thing that's been this is the same debate we had in the NCAA tournament. Not that many entertaining games early on. And the hope is, okay, that just means the later rounds will be that much better because you have, like, you know, Goliaths just going at each other instead of being upset by teams that are worse than them. But, I mean, oh my goodness, the Cavaliers-Heat series, brutal. Not one entertaining basketball game in the series. Thunder and Grizzlies. This was a funny one because the Grizzlies choked, a 26-point lead in Game 3, and then that was it. I mean, obviously. And Game 4 was close, actually. But this is a 1-versus-8 matchup that ended exactly how everyone thought it was going to end. Luckily, you know, now we can look ahead. We had the Pacers and Bucks series. This one, this is a 5-game series, and we're still talking about it because of Tyrese Halliburton's, I don't have an adjective ready to go, but his dad, who, I haven't given out, like, a yapper of the week in a long time, and, like, it's hard to give it to him because no one really knows, like, exactly what he said, right? This wasn't, like, a press conference gone wrong or like a Twitter interaction or something. This was an on-court confrontation between him and someone who could probably inflict serious harm on him with one hand and one leg tied to an anchor. I mean, this is like, I don't know who this guy thinks he is. His son is, I even mentioned this last week. It's funny when NBA stars pick one of their peer, you know, another star in the league, and they all just like clown on him and hate him. And Tyrese Halliburton is that person. You know, his image is already like kind of tainted because of how he carries himself on the court. And now you have his dad, not even, like I said, this is not like a social media beef. This is not happening in a comment section this way anywhere. This is a grown man walking out onto an NBA floor to get in the face of one of the superstars of and defining players of our generation. This is like, I don't know if this can even like happen in another sport. Could you imagine like after like a Super Bowl or something and Patrick Mahomes' dad goes up to Tom Brady and starts just like trash talking him. I don't know. It would be, it'd probably end a lot differently. Probably end in a more satisfying way as a fan. But yeah, what a bizarre, like, random thing. Like, dude, take your win and maybe just, like, act like you've been there before. I don't know. Now, if this is another player, that's one thing. I think people still wouldn't like it, generally, but at least, like, you competed and you earned the right to talk your talk, right? I mean, even if it still looks bad, ultimately, because Giannis is generally, like, a good dude and most people like him, at least you, like, earned your flowers, right? This is, like, Tyrese Halliburton's dad, who's, like, wearing a jersey that's three sizes too big, He was like, I'm like, dude, what are you doing on the floor, dude? Like, who are you? Who is this guy? And the fact that Tyrese Halliburton didn't see this and like go get his folks away from Giannis, like, oh my goodness. So what's this guy's name? It's John Halliburton. Kind of made himself look like a clown after his team or his son's team advanced to the second round. And cheers to the Pacers. I mean, they look like a good team. The Bucks are cooked. Giannis already unfollowed them on Instagram. It's not looking good for them. I was talking about this with my dad. Like, it's such a funny thing that a big headline that we look for every offseason is like, what athlete unfollowed what team account on Instagram? Like, imagine trying to explain that to like Babe Ruth or something. Like, after the Red Sox traded him to the Yankees, could you imagine a headline in the next day's New York Times, like, Babe Ruth unfollows Red Sox on Instagram? It's like, he probably wouldn't even be able to conceive of that as like a clickable notification in the world of sports. But it is usually telling. I mean, these players are usually pretty emotional. Clicking the follow button on an Instagram account is not a big deal. So to go out of your way to unfollow someone does kind of mean that, like, you know, obviously Giannis knew people were gonna notice that. So it is, you know, it is kind of a way to send a message without actually saying anything. But it's just funny. Like, Bleacher Report, Giannis unfollows Bucks on Instagram. It's like, oh man, the whole world's gonna crash and burn. And the Lakers. Don't even get me started with this Lakers team. I've talked about it with my roommates. I've talked about it with some of my other friends who I know are into basketball. Going into this series, the big question was not even if the Lakers were going to win, because with a player like LeBron James, the questions are never actually about the basketball itself. There's always a narrative. There's always some sort of overlying question about his legacy that people care more about than whether the Lakers actually score more points than their opponent. This is the problem with having LeBron James on your team, as good as he is, obviously. The question was, going into this series, a first-round series, you just picked up Luka Doncic at the trade deadline. Does losing this series affect LeBron's legacy? And I hate to be the guy that's like, how does this affect LeBron's legacy? But seriously, though, I mean, I'm not going to give examples, but like, if you pick up a world-class point guard in the middle of the season, and you come into the playoffs as a 3 seed playing against a 6 seed who limped their way into the playoffs, more or less, never, you know, a team who's, in terms of this era of their success, the best is behind them for sure. How do you lose? And not even just like, it's not like this went to like game 7 or something. They lost in 5. In 5 games. That's bad. We all know Anthony Edwards is that guy. But Julius Randle, really? Rudy Gobert, Mr. I started COVID. Oh man, this is not good. And like, you know, we're not going to get into a who's the GOAT of the NBA debate, but this is not a good look for LeBron James in, what is this, year 21 or 22? Because you can't have it both ways, right? You can't say, oh, well, he's in his 22nd season, but he still produces at an elite level. You can't have that argument, but then also say that his playoff success doesn't matter. You have to consider, if you're going to consider all of it in his age 40, whatever season or however old he is, you have to take it all in. And a single victory in the first round playoff series, when you acquired a world-class talent, midway through the season, is not exactly a bright spot on LeBron James's resume for greatest basketball player of all time. Tonight, Warriors and Rockets. Golden State will try to close it out at home. It'll be Steph, it'll be Jimmy, and if it's not Steph and it's not Jimmy, then the Rockets will force a game seven. Simple as that. Game seven will be Sunday if necessary. And then last night, the Los Angeles Clippers hanging around in a pretty decisive home win against the Nuggets. So that game seven will be tomorrow in Denver. I did just get done ripping the NBA for having three sweeps in the first round, but to their credit, two game sevens is pretty good. We're only getting, well, it's, we could be getting two game sevens in the NHL, only one confirmed, but that'll be determined tonight. But we didn't have any sweeps in the NHL. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have anything else. There's nothing else really going on in basketball. Oh, we had the Greg Popovich thing that just happened. He's done. He's done coaching. He'll be stepping into the president role, which is like, what is a president of a sports team? You're not the owner. You're not the GM. You're not the coach. What do? Is it just like administrative mostly? I know they have like the president of basketball operations or president of hockey operations. It's like, what does that mean? What does that job description entail that you don't find in the owner or GM or head coach? I don't know. I never understood it. To me, it's always just seemed like a way to keep someone on payroll, which is fine. That's totally fine. I know they do like special advisor to the GM, which is what, isn't that what A-Rod is for the Yankees or something, like special advisor, blah, blah, blah. It's probably like a tax write-off or something. But anyway, what a career for Greg Popovich, obviously in the conversation for the greatest coach in NBA history. Pretty much loved by all. Unfortunately, has encountered some health issues and a couple scary developments in the past couple years. So, you know, this is not nothing. This is not a nothing piece of news. You got pretty much the brightest young star in the league on your roster. The Spurs are a team that's been on the upswing. You got Chris, is Chris Paul still there? De'Aaron Fox. You know, this is a team that is looking to become competitive within a very short time frame here. So, interested to see. I think they already hired someone, like Mitch something, who was like an assistant or something. So that, you know, that was a pretty quick turnaround for them. And then it also just came out that LeBron, suffered an MCL sprain in the playoff series. In game five, he's in the clinching game for the T-Wolves. He sprained his MCL. I'm really torn up about that. It makes me really sad. And, man, I just hope, I don't know what we're going to do without the Lakers in the playoffs. Us NBA fans, we just don't know what to do with ourselves without the incessant moaning and whining of Laker fans all over social media, constant, the greatest franchise in the history of the league, and they still think that they're like the victims of everything. I know this is how people feel about Yankee fans in baseball, and it's totally valid, because I know exactly what they're talking about, because I know Lakers fans. But whatever. That's like, man, that's probably the most time we've ever spent talking about basketball on this show, because I really don't enjoy watching regular season basketball. Let's get into hockey before we go to our PSA. Couple series wrap-ups to mention. The first one was Carolina and the Devils. Man, the Devils, to their credit, they were really kind of like on their last legs health-wise, missing key players here and there. But what injuries didn't do for the Devils is make them blow a 3-goal lead in Game 5. And not even just a 3-goal lead. I think the Canes, all three of their goals to draw the game back even were in a span of like 4 minutes. I think we kind of knew Carolina was going to win this series. And it's not that the Devils didn't fight hard. It's just that Carolina was just simply better. And Sebastian Aho gets the overtime winner in Game 5. A clap bomb on the power play. It was a nice, like, majestic-looking hockey goal. And obviously the scene was mayhem down there in Raleigh. And then the Caps. Man, the Caps. And this Montreal Canadiens team, to their credit, nobody thought they were going to make the playoffs this year. They're an extremely young team. They're probably their five best players are all under the age of 24. So they're going to be around for the long haul, it appears. They have, obviously, a Stanley Cup winning coach in Marty St. Louis. But this Washington Capitals team would simply not be denied. The highlights... I mean, Ovi had 4 goals in this series. Like, he's still not taking his foot off the gas. Like, there's no signs of slowing down for him. The Capitals, after their Stanley Cup win in 2018, they became one of those teams that makes the playoffs every year but never gets out of the first round. But now, I mean, this Caps team is just different. Took care of business against the team they were better than. I don't know who they play in the second round. I probably should have looked. But, I guess all the Eastern Conference series are settled, so the matchups should be set. I just don't know what they are. I think it's Carolina and Washington, though, if I'm not mistaken. We had the Florida Panthers winning the Battle of Florida once again against the Tampa Bay Lightning. Another series. This one only went 5 as well. The Panthers are just better. I mean, this is such a scary team because now that they're healthy, they got Matthew Tkachuk back. Brad Marchand is in the lineup. Seth Jones is in the lineup. Sergei Bobrovsky is playing in the playoffs, which usually means he is a brick wall. This is a scary team. They are my pick. They're still my pick to come out of the Eastern Conference. Tampa Bay, not the best Lightning team we've seen. You know, they've been pretty good for almost a decade now. Far from the best Lightning team we've seen, but they were a higher seed than the Panthers, who they lost at home. The Lightning lost at home in the clinching game. So on to Toronto for Florida. The Maple Leafs closing it out last night against the Ottawa Senators. Credit to Ottawa, another team that nobody expected to be here. They look like they have a decently bright future. This is not the team. They'll still have to get better. There were 3 overtime games in this series. So, you know, those can really go either way in the playoffs. Leafs win the series 4-2, but honestly, I think, you know, I could have seen this one going 7. It was that competitive, even though the Leafs were up 3-0 at one point. But just too much for Ottawa to handle. Last night, a game in Ottawa, so the Leafs win the Battle of Ontario. And then the Vegas Golden Knights, who gave us a bit of a scare. They started this series off really slow. Minnesota looked jumpier. They had a 2-1 lead in the series. Had a 2-1 lead and did not win another game. Vegas finally putting it all together. Jack Eichel There was an overtime game in this series. It's always a thing about the NHL playoffs is you really do have to consider games that were won in overtime, because those are all just like that's as razor thin as it gets. And they can really go either way. But credit to Vegas. They'll be moving on to, I believe they have the winner of Winnipeg and St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken. That game's tonight. Blues are on the brink. They're down 3-2, but they have a home game tonight where they won the previous two home games. The home games won every, home teams won every game in this series. So if that trend continues, we'll have a game seven between the Jets and the Blues. Connor Hellebuck was the big story for games 3 and 4 in St. Louis. He was pulled in both of those games. This is a guy who is probably going to win the MVP award. So for him to be pulled in back-to-back starts in the playoffs, it's unfortunately becoming, this is a known thing about Connor Hellebuck and Winnipeg as a whole, actually, is that they don't show up in the playoffs despite having really good regular seasons. So we'll see tonight if the Blues can really put the pressure on the one seed, or if they'll be heading to Cancun to join the rest of the eliminated teams. And then the best series easily of the first round of the NHL playoffs has been Colorado and Dallas, who give us great, great playoff series every time they meet. And it's like they've both been really good in the West. I think I said it last week, Vegas, Dallas, and Colorado have just this like lover's triangle of fantastic playoff series in the Western Conference. And usually they're in the second round or the Western Conference final. The way the seeding lined up this year, it was Dallas and Colorado in the first round. The Avalanche staying alive last night. They were down 4-3 in this game. Came back to win. We'll have a game seven tomorrow at 8 in Dallas. It really doesn't get better than game seven in the NHL. Just an electric atmosphere. And if you ever have the pleasure of going to one, you should absolutely take advantage of it. I have only been to one game seven in my lifetime, over a decade ago. I want to say 2012. I think it was the year the Rangers lost to the Devils in the Eastern Conference final. The Henrique gets over goal. I believe they were coming off a second round victory against the Capitals to go into that ECF series. There's someone I know for a fact that is listening that would know better than me. So the only other hockey news, the Rangers found their head coach, Mike Sullivan, who was an assistant coach under John Tortorella, kind of late 2000s, early 2010s, went right from there to his first head coaching job with the Penguins, pretty much immediately won back-to-back Stanley Cup finals. Never got back, but it's not really his fault. Just a really incredibly poorly and mismanaged roster pretty much since the end of the 2010s for the Penguins. So now he will go to his second head coaching job, back with the team that he was with before his first. They're saying, I don't think the exact numbers have come out yet, but they're saying it's the highest AAV for a coach in hockey history. AAV is average annual value. I hate that we use this term because it's such an unsatisfying abbreviation to say. You know how like abbreviations that stick with you are ones that just flow off the tongue? Like, this is why we don't call it NCAA. We say NCAA because it just sounds better. So I don't want to say, oh, he's getting $5 million AAV. That sucks. That's like nails on a chalkboard. I'd rather say AAV, or why don't we just say he's getting $5 million per year? These NHL insiders are so committed to using the term AAV. And I know I know why. It's because the per year is not the exact same from year to year. It increases every year with the terms of the contract, blah, blah, blah. So basically, you know, if it's an 8-year contract for, I should have used a more easy, like multiples number. If it's a 10-year contract for $100 million, you know, you'll never see someone. What does the average fan think? Oh, that's $10 million a year. Boom, easy. But no, the insider at Bleacher Report is like, yeah, he's earning an average of a 9.7 million AAV. It's like, oh my God, dude, it's a 10-year contract for $100 million. But anyway, let's go to a PSA. You can think about AAVs while you listen to this. What do we got? We need some new ones on here. How about this one is also a 3-letter abbreviation, OCC. I'm sure we've played this one before. It says Carly Rae on it, so I assume we'll hear like a Call Me Maybe remix. That would be my guess. Yeah, we'll be back in 34 seconds.
Speech problems. Who's got them? If you're worried about that class presentation, come on down to the Oral Communication Center, or OCC for short. We offer support for students who need help with their communication and public speaking skills. We're based in the Skinner Building in room 2117 from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. But if you need a little help in the afternoon, we're in McKeldin Library room 2111 after 4 p.m. Go to umd.mywconline.net to schedule an appointment, but walk-ins are always welcome. See you there.
I had a class my freshman year. It was like the basic Comm 107 class that they make all the freshmen take. It's called Oral Communication Principles and Practices or something like that. And the whole class is just giving slideshow presentations. And I bring this up not only because the PSA was about it, but because I had a friend talking to me about a final presentation that he had to give. And I was like, what's the time limit? And he's like, oh, like 10 minutes or something. And I was like, oh, that goes by pretty quick. And he was like, yeah, I don't really think the professor cares about the time that much, though. Like, they're not going to, you know, take points off if you go like a minute and a half over or something like that. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I know some professors really care about it. He's like, yeah, but this isn't like a comm class, whatever. My comm class, my final presentation went like 15 seconds over the time limit, and I think I got like a 70 on it, which is a shame because it was a really good presentation. And then my entire rubric that he gave back to me was like, you really got to watch the time. Like, I really liked your content, but time is money, and you went over the time limit. I was like, dude, are you serious? Like, is this that big of a weed out class that you're taking 30% of my grade for 15 seconds? Whatever. I'm clearly over it, as you can tell. Shador Sanders, 5th round. Oh my God. I came on here last week. It was Friday. It was day 2 of the draft. I said, we will definitely see him drafted tonight. There's no doubt in my mind. Clearly Mel Kiper Jr. thought the same thing. He should really be Yapper of the Week because he made a fool out of himself all week long, ranting about how NFL GMs are bad at their jobs because Shador Sanders was drafted in the 5th round. Yeah, this is not a great look for anyone, really. Least of all Shador himself. But the funniest part of all of this, and I know it's ethically reprehensible probably, but the prank call is, I'm sorry, that is one of the funniest things that has ever come out of like a draft night. One of the funniest headlines to ever come out of draft night. This and the Laramie Tunsil face mask bong picture that dropped like 15 minutes before he was supposed to get drafted and it tanked his draft stock. That's only funny now because he still had a very good NFL career. But the the son of the Falcons GM prank calling Shedeur Sanders is so funny. And you know what? It would be less funny if Shedeur Sanders was more likable as a person and as a teammate. That would make it less funny. But since Deion talked all that smack about my son's going top 10, dude, your son didn't go top 160. Brutal. The Falcons get fined, what, like $200,000, which is just so funny because, like, I know it's not a thing that we want to happen again. Like, obviously, you got to make an example out of this kid. You can't be doing this. I think Abdul Carter said the same thing happened to him. You know, this is not, this takes me back to that clip of when they called the bullpen. They were watching like a college baseball game and they called the bullpen to like get one of the pitchers up and warming, and then you could see him running by in the background. If you know the clip I'm talking about, you are a real ball knower, and I respect you. But this is like the final boss of that trend. I mean, how does he get the number in the first place? Not to take any of the blame off him. Like, as funny as it is, obviously you can't be doing that. But it's so funny, especially because like nobody would have cared if he just got drafted, like, you know, two picks later. This is why the Abdul Carter story didn't come out until like yesterday, when he said he was prank called as well, because he went third overall. But with all of the compounding narratives about Shedeur falling to the fifth round, and then it's like somebody prank called him. That is just so funny. Imagine you're like, it's the biggest night of your life, like the NFL draft. You've worked your whole life to get here. And you answer the phone, you think it's like your big moment. He's in a room with like 50,000 people, all just like, you know, all of his minions that are the biggest like echo chamber, right? And like he gets a call and it's just like some like 20-year-old kid just like, you know, doing like deepening his voice, like, oh yeah, we're gonna take you with this pick. I'm sorry. Like, that's just pretty funny. I know it's wrong, but most NFL fans, despite probably disagreeing with the morals of it, probably laughed out loud when this headline came out. Because at its core, it is a funny prank. But whatever. He goes to the Cleveland Browns, which this quarterback room for Cleveland, what are we doing here? We got Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Shedeur Sanders, and oh, don't forget, Deshaun Diddy Watson is still on the roster as well. Crazy, crazy quarterback room right now in Cleveland. John Elway, what are we doing? I mean, this is like, I don't even know. I wish there was more details about how this happened. For those of you that don't know, John Elway is driving a golf cart, presumably on the golf course, but you really don't know. I don't think that detail has been specified. It just said a golf cart. So this could have been like around some neighborhood in like Tempe, Arizona or something, where people just like drive golf carts. His former agent, current business partner, is riding in the passenger seat. John Elway crashes the vehicle, and his buddy dies from his injuries after a stint in the hospital. Man, John Elway's reputation just gets better and better, doesn't it? The John Daly of the NFL, really. But just like, probably a worse person. I don't know him, so. Anyway, who knows what the fallout from this will be. It could be nothing. It could turn into a big story. Either way, it is very sad. And you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say that like Elway doesn't feel bad about it. Of course he probably does. But yeah, I know my mom's a big John Elway fan. So I just figured I'd share that piece of news. And Jordan Travis had to retire. Somehow we're still finding a way to talk about Florida State. The injury that Florida State fans and members of the team will tell you robbed them of a national championship, least of all a college football playoff appearance. The Jordan Travis injury wound up taking away his whole career, which is very, very sad. He was apparently on the Jets, which I didn't know until reading it this morning that he was retiring. And the leg just never fully healed. And the medical experts or whoever told him, like, hey, it's our professional advice that you shouldn't play football anymore. And so he's, what, 23 years old? Yeah, pretty sad. This does happen from time to time. We just saw it with Grayson McCall during in the middle of the season, of the football season. He just had too many concussions. Very sad. Hopefully, in the age of NIL, this is like, you know, one of the good things about NIL is that you can probably safely assume that they, you know, made a healthy sum of money while they were playing. So ultimately it's not like, you know, they missed out on some big signing bonus or, I mean, obviously to become, you know, paid like they are in the NFL is a totally different tier. But that is one, I know NIL is a pretty divisive topic, but that is one thing, that it definitely is good for, is getting players and families their quote unquote return on investment as athletes, at an earlier time. You know, making the draft is not the be all end all anymore of being a quote unquote professional athlete. Baseball. Not much to talk about other than yet another horrific incident. This happens like every 15 years or so. I remember it happened at down in Texas. But that was a bit of a different situation. But anyway, if you didn't see, a fan at a Pittsburgh Pirates game sitting like up on the outfield wall. If you see the video, it's really puzzling. But he kind of just like launched himself head over heels over the railing. It was not a short fall. He gets like ambulanced out of the stadium. The last update, which I saw yesterday, I think, was that he's still in like critical condition. It's obviously not a very pretty clip if you see it on like Twitter. The one in Texas from like I want to say 2011 or 2012. A player on the field had thrown a ball up into the stands, and oh, it was so bad. It was like a dad with his kid, and the dad like reaches out to get the ball, falls over, dies, like totally tragic. But like this dude, like the play was going on nowhere close to where he was sitting. I mean, there was like I think the Pirates were scoring runs on the play, so you can maybe see like, oh, like jumping out of your seat for excitement reasons and maybe just losing your balance. I don't know. It's really confusing to watch. We haven't really gotten any updates since yesterday in regards to his condition. But obviously hoping for the best. Nothing else really going on in baseball right now. I did go to the Yankees-Orioles game on Tuesday. Yanks won 15-2. Lost the other two games in the series, though, so I picked the right one. My friends did not. But Camden Yards, as beautiful as ever, and it was not expensive to get there or get in. So, and they also just opened these discounted concession stands at Oriole Park where everything is $5 or less. Literally a Five Below concession stands. I got two hot dogs and two beverages for like $18, which is like you can get a hot dog and a beer for like $16 at Yankee Stadium. So it was pretty nice. What do we get? It's 3:56. This day in sports history, May 2nd, 2015, was the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. Probably the first time I was ever scolded by my grandmother because I said I was rooting for Floyd Mayweather and we're Filipino. So I literally just didn't know. I don't even think this was 2015. So I probably knew that Manny Pacquiao was Filipino. I don't know why I wanted to root for Floyd Mayweather. But the fight kind of stunk. It went the distance, which you never want in a heavyweight fight. I didn't mean to say heavyweight, like a main event, like, you know, like a big hype, big ticket event. I don't know what the term I was looking for was. But yeah, obviously this led to some controversy because of the whole situation with Floyd's domestic situation and Manny Pacquiao not ignoring it. Anyway, I mean, ball knowers know what I'm talking about. I don't want to get too specific because it was 2015. It weirdly feels more than 10 years ago. If I didn't know the year, I would have guessed like 2013, I think. Happy 50th birthday, David Beckham. I don't have anything to say about David Beckham. One of the best footballers of all time, I guess. Married Posh Spice, and had a movie that was kind of about him, but not really. That's really all I have to say about Beckham. And LA Galaxy legend, though, by the way. And happy 38th birthday to Pat McAfee, who is the best thing to happen to I shouldn't say that. A great TV personality and really fun to watch on College Game Day. Unfortunately, went to West Virginia, though. So, you know, you do have to kind of put that aside when you listen to him. I've always liked him, though. He's a fun listen. And his podcast, you know, with Aaron Rodgers is usually gold. So, anyway. This was a good show. Any show where, like, I'm cramming information at the end, I'll always take that over not having enough to talk about. It's just like, you know, you can never take too many photos. I know some people subscribe to that ideology. I do not. We got to draw the line somewhere, people. There's like too many pictures being taken. I think the next Black Mirror season should have an episode where everyone is born with a limit on the amount of pictures they can take in their life. It's a fun concept. Maybe I'll just write it myself. Who knows? But anyway, this is a fun, fast-paced 50th episode of Yap and Chap. I hope you guys enjoyed. Go watch the Warriors and Rockets. Go watch the Jets and Blues.